Welcome to Locus Focus. I'm Barbara Bernstein, your host for this weekly conversation about our place in the planet. And before we get started, a reminder that KABU is in the midst of our end-of-the-year pledge drive. KABU is commercial-free, volunteer-powered radio made possible by people like you. Not only that, KABU has trained thousands of people how to make radio, all for free thanks to the support we receive from our members. To help us reach our $45,000 fundraising goal, just go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321. Thanks for supporting community-powered radio. And if this show sounds different than the last few that we've done, actually the last 3 months, it's because we are live from the KABU studio today. And it is very exciting to be back in the studio. Despite Omicron, we're going to forge ahead and try to do live radio here on Locus Focus. Last June, the long-embattled methanol refinery that was proposed for the port of Kalama, Washington, was finally defeated. Northwest Innovation Works, the Chinese-backed company behind this project, originally proposed to build three of the world's largest methanol refineries in Tacoma, Kalama, and the tiny Port Westward Industrial Park, downstream along the Columbia River from Kalama. First, the Tacoma project was shot down. Now that the Kalama project is also dead, NWIW's remaining hope is to build its plant at Port Westward. But first, they need to rezone 830 acres of fertile floodplain for industrial use. And that effort has received much pushback from this rural farming community. Today, we talk with Dan Sears, Conservation Director for Columbia Riverkeeper, about why so many farmers and community members up and down the Columbia River are so opposed to this project and what they're doing to stop it. Dan, welcome back to Locus Focus.
Thank you for having me.
And it's so nice to have you be my first live guest since Labor Day. So
that's pretty wild.
Even though we're in different studios, I can see Dan's mask and the glint of his eyeglasses, but it's better than Zoom.
Slightly better than Zoom, yes.
So we're going to be talking about something that I think a lot of people are unaware of. Two things. I think most listeners probably have no idea what Port Westward is. And secondly, listeners to the show who've been following the methanol struggles to stop methanol, particularly in Kalama, the methanol refinery that was proposed for Kalama, probably don't realize that that same company, Northwest Innovation Works, still has one more methanol refinery on its slate. So let's talk a bit about that project, and then we'll broaden out into what Port Westward is and why it's such a concern for people who live in rural Columbia County out there.
Yeah. Many folks are familiar with what happened with the Kalama Northwest Innovation Works project, and the people who've listened to your show have heard from the Kalama community directly about their experience with Northwest Innovation Works, this company which proposed to turn fracked gas into methanol on a huge scale. And it was one of three different proposals, or three different locations, Tacoma being the first. And Tacoma was going to be twice as big as, well, basically Tacoma was going to be as big as the two Columbia River proposals combined. And to the credit for the people in Tacoma, they were able to see that this was a false solution and a major polluter and a threat to the community's safety and health. And they said no to the project on a very fast timeline in 2016. Around the same time, the same company was seeking two different locations on the lower Columbia River. And Kalama was one and Port Westward was the other. And Kalama is the one that sort of took off and became the most prominent proposal for Northwest Innovation Works. And just to put this in scale, they would have produced a significant amount, you know, like 3 to 5% of the world's methanol would have been coming from this area, the Columbia River, made out of fracked gas from British Columbia or the Rockies. And that whole operation became the subject of a very contentious multi-year battle. And what's remarkable is that just across the river, there's been this sleepy little arrangement between the Port of Columbia County and Northwest Innovation Works for the third proposal. And when the state of Washington rejected the project in 2020, and then the company backed out in 2021, that set the stage for this question of, will Northwest Innovation Works pursue the third methanol refinery at Port Westward? And I think a lot of the answer to that, well, it should obviously be no, because Port Westward as a site for industrial development is really, really dubious. And we could get into that. And I want to kind of refocus the whole question here around the Columbia River Estuary and why we have fought so hard to protect these wetlands and tidal sloughs and all these places that represent a linchpin for salmon survival and recovery. And this whole area is tremendously significant for the Cowlitz tribe and for Columbia River tribes, you know, like the Confederate tribes of the Umatilla Indian Reservation. This was a widely used, populated, and is used and populated by people who fish, and probably, you know, that's a very important source of protein for their families in that whole stretch of river. So, it's a farming community that produces extraordinary crops of mint, blueberries. There's livestock, there's trees. The place is really a remarkable convergence of forces in Oregon. And so you think about Port Westward, this really critical pinch point in the Columbia River Estuary. And does it make sense to industrialize it with a massive fracked gas to methanol refinery? We think this project is probably not likely to move forward, but there is a very, very large question hanging out there about whether a bunch of farmland will be converted to industrial use for this refinery. And so I don't want to have people thinking that this is an imminent thing with Northwest Innovation Works, but the conversion of land at Port Westward to industry could set the stage for a number of different things. And right now, the only named project for this very large area that the Port of Columbia County is seeking to rezone. What that means, by the way, is they change how the land is allowed to be used. So they alter the use of it.
Well, we should get into the whole issue about rezoning and some more background on Port Westward. But I actually wanted to take a moment to talk about some of the stuff that you mentioned in your text this morning to me, that we need to celebrate first. And actually,
yes,
when you mentioned
you.
Columbia Estuary, I started thinking, well, besides celebrating the defeat of Jordan Cove and Kalama Methanol, I want to go back a few years to another struggle. I guess it was your second LNG struggle, which was out on the coast in Astoria and Warrenton. So mm-hmm. let's talk just a little bit about this fight to transform the Columbia River into this industrial pipeline for shipping frack gas out to other places. And,
right.
and talk about the victory in Astoria, and then let's just celebrate for a moment the other more recent victories.
Yeah, and I should say that one of the very first LNG proposals in Oregon was right there at Port Westward. Port Westward LNG LLC. There was a developer by the name of Spiro Vassilopoulos who came in the property in question had tried to sort of bully his way in, really, into the community, and ultimately was not able to proceed with that. It would have been very likely right up there with Oregon LNG or Jordan Cove is a long, long LNG fight. So Port Westward is one of those places that has gotten all of this stuff. And we've talked about this on this show before, and others from Sightline Institute, for instance, have talked about this whole concept of the thin green line. Well, the Columbia River Estuary is really like, it's a choke point for a lot of fossil fuel shipments. And Port Westward is a place where rail meets deep water. Again, like this pinch point idea that also makes it an incredible place for salmon, for wildlife, for clean water resources. And so the bigger picture here is we're sort of at this funnel point for all this fossil fuel that wants to find its way into a broader market around the world. And, you know, a lot was made of the Chinese government's involvement with Northwest Innovation Works, and it's significant. But, you know, the actions of the company were carried out by folks like Richard DeBolt, who is a state representative in Washington, who promoted the project, and former Cowlitz County commissioners who promoted the project.
And Gary Locke, as a matter of fact.
Gary Locke, exactly.
Former
so
governor.
Just to acknowledge, like, this is not a... they're like any other energy company, I guess is the way I put it. And they basically behaved like any other energy company as they came in. And it was really a major issue to have to, you know, identify that these sites that were being targeted for huge fossil fuel installations were really inappropriate for that type of development for a myriad of reasons.
Well, I want to take a moment to like look at the victories that we've had, and we can start with the victory against Oregon LNG and Bradford Landing, and then talk about Jordan Cove and talk a little bit about Calama Methanol and how that can be a model for what moves forward in stopping what they want to put in at Port Westward.
I mean, it's just astounding. Like this past week, you know, LNG ended in Oregon, finally. You know, it's an idea that surfaced in 2003, late 2003, in Jordan Cove. And just last week on Thursday, and a huge shout out to all of our friends down in Southern Oregon and across the region, across the state, from Klamath, you know, everywhere. It's the number of people who are involved in protecting Oregon from that outrageously stupid idea is just astounding. And Jordan Cove, you know, FERC vacated all of their licenses, so it's really over. People have said Jordan Cove was going to happen, that the fight was over, and people have said it's really dead and it's never going to happen. This is actually the moment where you know, it's really over, which is remarkable. And that's 18 years. And it kind of was, every one of these projects is like its own version of Jordan Cove.
Well, I remember when I was interviewing you for the documentary I did about Jordan Cove last year.
It's like a playbook.
And you talked about your brother getting, you and your brother got involved very early on in the fight to stop Jordan Cove. And your brother said to you, this could be a really long fight.
Yes.
Did you imagine 18 years?
Yeah, he said 15. He thought it would be 15 just because of the amount of pressure that we could see was forming around using the West Coast as a fossil fuel port more and more to make it look more like the Gulf Coast. And there were certain places that were obvious targets for that. And those were the towns that had big mills that went under, towns that had a big industrial base, like Longview, that area. So that's really the question at Port Westward is, you know, as we celebrate the victory of seeing the Calama project canceled, and the folks in Calama are just wonderful. Like they really have open hearts, and they've been reaching out to other people and other communities who are still struggling with their own fights, such as Tacoma. And you've covered the Tacoma LNG issue, the one place in the Northwest where the fracked gas industry managed to establish an installation for LNG was in Tacoma, in an area that's just, it's really ill-advised where they have put this big, you know, bubble of liquefied natural gas. And they are moving towards trying to, you know, recoup the costs of that LNG project from ratepayers. So that, more to come on that. And thank you to all the people in Tacoma who keep working to rein that project in.
Well, you're listening to Locus Focus here on KBOO Community Radio in Portland, Seattle stations KBFG LPFM and KODX LPFM, KMUN and KCBB in Astoria, KCEI 90.1 FM in Taos, New Mexico, and Radio Tacoma. And today we're talking about the demise of Jordan Cove LNG. Wait, today
we're talking about...
That was last week.
Exactly. We're talking about a number of things, but we're going to bring it back to...
Right.
What I wanted to say earlier is that... And sorry to interrupt, but it just... Every one of these projects takes on its own shape and its own, like there's a whole community of people who get inspired to protect their community and protect what they love. And Jordan Cove was one of the first, and Port Westward is a really complicated place. And it's part of this whole arc of attempts by the fossil fuel industry to find launching points to ship fossil fuels all over the world.
Well, I want to take a moment to remind people that we are in the midst of our end-of-the-year pledge drive. And so this is a good time to make a pledge to support KBOO and to support our programming that focuses on local communities, artists, activists, and people like you. You can join now and help us meet our $45,000 goal. Just go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321. Or you can mail a check to KBOO FM, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, 97214. Unfortunately, we do not have a room full of people answering telephones like we would pre-pandemic, and we hope we will post-pandemic. But we are doing the best we can, and you can help us in this virtual internet way by supporting community radio. And thanks so much for supporting community-powered radio. So, Dan, I wanted to talk more about this place, Port Westward, which very few people know what it is. And you described really well where it's located in the Columbia Estuary and how it's a choke point. But what is already there? Because when people, when you go out Highway 30, I mean, I noticed this for many, many years of going to Astoria, that there's a certain amount of industry that you pass on your way to Clatskanie, which is like the beginning of the estuary. And it always seemed to me to be a little out of place with the rest of that incredible river drive. So what is going on there?
Yeah, once you get past Longview and you go downstream, a good place to kind of get a view towards Port Westward is if you go to the end of Willow Grove Park on the Cowles County side. So you'll get a better view of the Oregon, kind of that sweep of the river there from the Highway 4 corridor going down. And that's a windy road, erosive, and driven past slides there more than once. And it's it gives you a good sense of how raw the land is out there and how the river really shapes the whole, that bend in the river. The power of the water is pretty dramatic, and there are cliffs there. And you get this really a good view of the geology. So Port Westward is, if I think the best way to get a view of it, if you happen to be listening and are ever headed that way, is actually to drive the Washington side and go down Highway 4. And then when you see the big steam plume, that is PGE's power plant. And kind of hidden by that steam plume sometimes, or tucked in there, just downstream, are farms, blueberry farms, mint, the Sealy Mint Farm, which is well known. You'll find as mints in stores around the area. It's long been an advocate for the agricultural aspect of Port Westward. You know, it's an area with a big dike that goes around it, and it's, as you might imagine, by virtue of being kind of that big bend in the river with a deep kind of scouring turn, it's been attractive to port activity for a long time. And so there were munitions there that were stored. But at this time, you know, what it's really doing, it's Global Partners has a facility where they take in ethanol and renewable diesel and by rail and put that onto ships.
And Global Partners is another multinational corporation.
That's right.
And I understand, I was reading some stuff about issues in Albany, New York with oil trains, and Global Partners' name reared its ugly head there. So they've been doing stuff like what they want to do in Port Westward in rural and not so rural communities, it seems, around the country.
That's right. Yeah, and folks will remember Global Partners. They're the ones who started moving Bakken crude oil down that Highway 30 corridor with very little notice or public involvement or engagement. People started seeing those big unit trains of oil going down and became pretty alarmed in Columbia County, because that bisects Scappoose, St. Helens.
Goes right. I mean, actually, it crosses the main road in places.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's like you'll have your elder care facility on one side and your, you know, ambulance on the, you know, I mean, they're working on all those issues. The local safety committees are very engaged in trying to figure out how to maintain a safe community that is divided by a rail line. And so when you get unit trains moving through, or very long trains moving through, this is one of the core issues around Port Westward, is that the whole county feels the impact of what goes on at Port Westward because of that sort of rickety old rail line that goes all the way out. It's the PNW rail line. And following that line, you know, one thing I want to say for folks listening, this is just to Google Port Westward and to get a satellite image, and you'll get a real sense for like how it is, really is a like kind of a point out there in the Columbia River. And then if you follow the river going, you know, back up, what's interesting is that there's a pretty large wedge of land between Highway 30 and the river that a lot of folks never really knew was there. And down in there, you know, as you come into Port Westward, there's a variety of people farming, and you know, there's ranches in the area. There's a Buddhist monastery right there, and an old school that has always been a, you know, quiet and thoughtful presence in the area. It's a resource to many people around Oregon. So it's a pretty profound spot for salmon, for resources that are very significant to the tribes and for the farming community. And in the middle of it, again and again and again, comes, it's like one of these, I don't know how to say, but there are certain places in the Northwest that just keep getting the same sort of regurgitated different versions of major fossil fuel projects, and Port Westward is one of them. And, you know, the idea of establishing a methanol refinery there, which would demand fracked gas being piped from British Columbia all the way down, you know, leaking along the way. You know, we've learned more and more about the tremendous climate impact that the fracked gas and the methane industry is having. And this stuff being piped to make methanol, to make plastic, or to burn for fuel somewhere overseas, this is not going to make sense in any future that, you know, we envision in terms of a clean energy future. It's just, it doesn't compute to try to plunk something like that in the middle of one of the most critical clean water estuary, you know, sensitive areas in the whole world, really.
Well, one of the differences that I see between Port Westward and the Clatskanie area, and on the other hand, the other sites for the methanol refinery, Kalama and Tacoma, is that Port Westward is a very tiny industrial park, if I'm not correct, and there's not much going on there, and there's a lot of farming going on right around it, whereas
exactly.
Kalama is a pretty little town that's kind of impacted greatly by the freeway. It's got a small port mm-hmm. compared to Tacoma. Then, of course, Tacoma has this massive port. It's one of the biggest ports in the Northwest. I mean, I wonder why Target, you've described why it's a great place for the fossil fuel industry to use as a launching point to get ships. But it still seems like it's this place that still is a bastion of ruralness and farming. And it should, that to me holds a lot of strength in terms of holding on to that value, particularly, well, we'll get into this a little bit more too, but with Oregon land use laws that are supposed to protect farmland. So I wonder if you see a difference in the struggles between holding on to protected land, land that's currently protected by land use laws, and the struggle in Washington state where they don't have that kind of protection.
I mean, it's interesting as you come down the Washington side, and those are the folks who have this sort of perched view of what goes on at Port Westward. I don't know how to begin to say just... It will be an attractive place for industry for the same reasons that it's attractive to all types of other economic activity. You've got great rail access and great deep water access, and it's a deep spot in the river, and you could imagine having all types of activities there that are totally consistent with the river and ecologically sound. And that's how the place was used for forever, you know. And so it's not like it's a mismanagement basically to think about paving 837 acres or industrializing 837 acres of this prime land, which is currently in agriculture or zoned agriculture, to heavy industry. Like in I just, as a practical question, does it make sense to anybody to say, on the Columbia River estuary, we want to create a huge new Port of Vancouver-sized industrial something, you know, at this critical bend in the estuary? Do you want, like, you know, you drive by Longview, you drive by the Port of Vancouver, do you want another thing like that right there at Port Westward? And, you know, Clatskanie is the closest town, but Clatskanie is also the town that doesn't have the rail line going through it. And so it's a interesting distribution of impacts in Columbia County, where many of the communities that would see the trains that would be feeding Port Westward are kind of tucked in this wedge of land between, you know, the Coast Range and the river, and it's very open and beautiful, but if something went wrong with a fossil fuel train, we'd have a huge problem. So that's always been kind of focusing people's minds and on Port Westward. And so the train issue is really separate from Northwest Innovation Works. I want to make that clear. But it's something that, you know, fossil fuel development at Port Westward has long been a question because of its access to both fracked gas pipes, large amounts of fracked gas in interstate pipelines, and then the rail lines.
So where would the gas come from if NWIW was going to build the methanol refinery?
Yeah, the gas would have to come from British Columbia, which is fracking way up in sort of Alberta, northeast British Columbia. And the company Northwest Innovation Works would, you know, they have, or at least they had at some point, the right to move gas through the pipelines all the way down towards Oregon. Now, how you get 300 million cubic feet of gas per day or something like that to Port Westward is a totally separate question, because the region's pipeline capacity really doesn't allow for that. And that was one of the core questions around Kalama, is that it was pretty clear that they were going to have to do something more dramatic than just the 3.1-mile spur that they had proposed. And so that issue remains at Port Westward with any sort of project that would demand a huge amount of fracked gas. Right now, the pipelines to Port Westward are pretty devoted to Portland General Electric's big Port Westward power plant that operates down there. And
are there already pipelines that cross the Columbia River from the Williams pipeline?
There's a KB pipeline that goes underneath the Columbia River right there. And that's why it makes it a very, for the fracked gas industry, a strategic point. And then just kind of perched above there, there are pipelines that extend to the Mist storage field. And so Northwest Natural stores quite a bit of gas in what were sort of, there was like a little bit of gas that they drilled into, and it was a pocket. And so they were able to also put gas back in underground storage. And so that underground storage area is fairly close to Port Westward and connected by a pipeline that was constructed not that long ago through some pretty rough terrain. And so they have a big connection there to all of this fracked gas infrastructure. And so Port Westward has always been kind of eyed for a big industrial development. At the same time, we're talking about an area that, as a practical matter, is just a terrible site.
We'll get into that in a moment, but I want people to know that you're listening to Locus Focus here on KBOO Community Radio in Portland. Seattle stations KBFG LPFM and KODX LPFM, KMUN, KCBB in Astoria, KCEI in Taos, New Mexico, and Radio Tacoma. Today we're talking with Dan Sears about a little-known industrial park called Port Westward, which is just outside of Clatskanie at the beginning of the Columbia River estuary on the Oregon side, and the plans to turn it into a major industrial site and the home of what would be the world's largest methanol refinery. I want to take a moment to remind people that we are in the midst of our end-of-the-year pledge drive, and so this is a good time to make a pledge to support KBOO and to support our programming that focuses on local communities, artists, activists, and people like you. You can join now and help us meet our $45,000 goal. Just go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321. Or you can mail a check to KBOO-FM, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, 97214. I wanted to talk about the zoning issue, which you brought up at the beginning of the show, because one of the things that you mentioned in your text to me this morning was that what really killed the methanol refinery in Kalama had to do with the fact that Washington State has a State Environmental Protection Act. Oregon doesn't have that, but Oregon has something else that may protect us. So let's talk about what that something else is.
So in Oregon, you know, we have sort of attempted to lay out what types of land uses make sense in certain areas, and so that we don't do things like put huge polluting facilities right on top of wetlands. So, case in point, this is like Oregon land use law is, you know, you have housing in certain areas, you have farms in certain areas, you have heavy industry in other areas. And what is going on at Port Westward is there's 837 acres that the port owns that they would like to have converted from agricultural land to heavy industry. And when they do that, it both impacts the land itself, but also the neighbors to that land. And the water that flows through this whole area. So Port Westward is diked off from the Columbia River and has deep peat soil. You put those things together and you get a sense that like these are drainages that are pretty meticulously, well, it's a challenge to maintain the right water level and farming in this area. And so it's pretty actively managed in terms of pumping water through drainages. So there's a drainage district and there's a diking district, and there are local entities that are empowered to essentially manage the land. And when you go down there, what you find, I am very, very grateful to have seen Port Westward as it is in my life, because it is extraordinarily beautiful. It is unbelievable. You see eagles, you see every type of migratory bird is coming through this choke point. There's so many, there's every endangered salmon run that comes up the Columbia River has to pass right through there. And you see bountiful habitat for salmon all along that bend. So just downstream from the dock where Global Partners, you know, once was unloading Bakken crude oil and now is back to doing ethanol and renewable diesel. That stretch downstream was an area that was used by horse fishermen, people who would swim horses out in the Columbia River with nets attached to them, and then the horses would swim the net back in and they'd catch salmon that way. Just a remarkable thing to consider. And they did this horse seine fishing right there at Port Westward in this kind of sweep of the Columbia. So it's a pretty profound spot for all, you know, sport fishing, commercial fishing, tribal fishing. All these fishers have used this place because it's a deep self-scouring sweep in the Columbia River, but around it are, you know, Crims Island is right there. That's a kind of a jewel of restoration in many ways. And then these big basalt, kind of fractured basalt bluffs that stare down at this really rich habitat for birds and wildlife. And for the people who've advocated for this area for a long time, and there are these treasures of knowledge in Columbia County. There are too many to name, really, who I've learned from. Everything I know about Port Westward basically comes from these folks who just keep speaking up for this really profoundly sensitive and beautiful place, and the people who live there. And there's this sense that there's it's just ill-conceived to put something like a huge methanol refinery there. And then right next door, I should mention, you know, there's also a proposal by a company called Next Renewables to make renewable diesel. And
what is renewable diesel?
Renewable diesel is actually has a lot to argue for it for hard to electrify industries. It's a drop-in replacement for diesel. And so it's very pure cetane that goes in and basically just makes it's a very pure form of diesel that's made from ? Okay, so what is it made from? And that's the big question mark at Port Westward.
It's not made from cooking oil, I take it.
Well, that's the thing, is like sometimes it is. And there are places where people are making renewable diesel that is remarkable, and that they're turning waste products into a very high value diesel that's affordable, the feedstock's plentiful, and, you know, the, yeah, there's energy and industrial, some level of industrial process that goes into making it, but there's an argument for renewable diesel conversions, you know, but do you want to establish a whole new mega refinery, you know, in the middle of this place that I'm describing is like really sensitive? And so that's the site at Port Westward is really not suitable for heavy industry. And that's just the port of Columbia County has struggled with this over and over and over for years. And they just keep marketing the same idea, which is come out to Port Westward and build some huge thing that's going to be probably fossil fuel based.
Well, I want to get back to Oregon's land use laws because they're supposed to be protecting farmland. And in the Portland area, I'd say they've done a very partial job of that because the city just had a desire to sprawl in ways that I don't think were envisioned by the original architects of the land use laws. But out in a place like Clatskanie and that part of northern Columbia County, there's still lots and lots of farmland. And wouldn't it be in the state's interest if we still believe in the principles that brought us Senate Bill 100 back in 1973 that protects farmland in Oregon, that your first priority in a place like Columbia County would be to protect this farmland and not let it be rezoned for industrial use?
Yeah, and that's the core argument from 1,000 Friends of Oregon, who's been very engaged as well at Port Westward, is that this is like land use 101. You know, if you can't expect to have an abrupt transition from perfect mint fields to heavy industry, particularly in an area where the water's all connected, the drainages are all connected. And so there's a really compelling case that there's a compatibility problem with what the port has proposed with what surrounds it. And Oregon's land use law does consider the compatibility of uses between, you know, one thing and another. And this is an issue that came up in many different aspects of LNG proposals in Oregon, where people had to deal with, because if there were to be a methanol refinery at Port Westward, for instance, there would probably need to be another pipeline. So you have to consider this kind of extending outward from Port Westward as well. And, you know, the pipeline corridors, they have tremendous impact. The reason people fought for 18 years over Jordan Cove and the Pacific Connector is that it was simply an unacceptable idea. It was heinous. They were going to do so much damage. And I think the reason you see people fighting for Port Westward with all their hearts, you know, there's young activists in Clatskanie presenting to the city council, telling them, like, look, don't industrialize this area. Like, you've got an actual jewel here, something to protect. And you're not seeing the problem correctly. And they made a very compelling presentation to the Clatskanie City Council, a couple of young activists who have been working within the community to just identify the risks at Port Westward. And some of those things are, there's a group called Envision Columbia County that has just been there patiently asking these questions over and over and over about these land use issues. I'll name at least one person. It was Daryl Whipple, who I think may have been on the show years and years and years ago, talking about Port Westward, and has just steadily reminded people this is a sacred place. It's also a fishing grounds. It's also a farming community. It also has very sensitive drainage ditches, which manage the water levels and different types of crops. And then it has dikes that are operating now, but not certified for certain types of flood insurance because they're kind of marginal. They're not as high as they should be in certain areas, and there are stability issues in others. And so the idea of putting, so let's say you even had, let's say you thought that Northwest Innovation Works or Next Energy with their renewable diesel refinery were a good idea. Would you really want to put them in this spot, which is, you know, has liquefiable soil and deep peat soil? I think the argument against Port Westward being converted to either a methanol refinery or really any major huge industrial facility, you know, it doesn't make sense as a linchpin for a clean fuels future, even if that's what you're promoting.
Well, there's been actually a couple successes, because twice, I understand, the Port of Columbia County has tried to rezone this land industrial, and it's gone to the Land Use Board of Appeals statewide, and it's been defeated. So let's talk a little bit about that, and does that set a precedent for what might be happening down the road?
We'll see. I think I can never predict what the Land Use Board of Appeals will rule, and Port Westward is really contentious and complicated. And
why did they turn it down?
Well, they turned it down for exactly the reasons I described, which are it's not compatible, and the port had not done enough to demonstrate that what they were proposing would be compatible, or could be compatible. And I think the port just keeps rehashing the same argument. And I don't think, I think it's fundamentally clear that there's no exceptional reason to convert this farmland, particularly for something that doesn't, you don't really have to make all of this stuff right next to the river, even if you wanted to make it. There's a bunch of different issues involved, whether it's water dependent. And I think what we're getting down to is these legal arguments, which I think obscure the more fundamental question, which is like, we live in a place where we have this kind of miracle, you know, bend in the river, I think, where it's, you see habitat and, functioning like very organic, very high value agriculture happening. And to take that and to convert it to heavy industry, I think you're going to have major blowback in the community. And that's what's happening now. And we're seeing people in Columbia County pushing back on this idea. And, you know, some of the farmers even have set up their own website. I think it's protectoregonfarms.com. Mike Seeley is pretty vocal about his concerns about, you know, propose something or do economic activity there that makes sense, that doesn't displace the really valuable economic activity that's already happening. And to kind of bring it down to ground level, that if you were to walk out there, you know, someone listening, you'd see, what to you, you'd be driving probably on something that was kind of a dike, essentially. A lot of the areas are managed, and you're driving sort of on top of soil that, as the people in the area describe it, when a heavy truck goes by on one of the roads down at Port Westward in this kind of big diked off area, they can feel the ground wobble. And that dynamic is something that has allowed it to be really useful for, you know, it obviously has a lot of water right there. And so it makes for a really productive agricultural spot. Columbia County does not have as much great farmland as you'd think, because, you know, it gets pretty steep pretty quickly, and it gets up in the hills. And so that spot could be really valuable for agriculture.
Well, you're listening to Locus Focus here on Kiwi Community Radio in Portland. Seattle stations KBFG LPFM and KODX LPFM, KMUNN, KCBB in Astoria, and KCEI in Taos, New Mexico, and Radio Tacoma. And today we're talking about Port Westward, a tiny industrial park just south of Clatskanie, Oregon, in the beginning of the Columbia Estuary, and efforts to turn it into a major fossil fuel export hub. And we're talking with Dan Sears from Columbia Riverkeeper. I want to take a moment to remind people that we are in the midst of our end-of-the-year pledge drive. And so this is a good time to make a pledge to support KBOO and to support our programming that focuses on local communities, artists, activists, and people like you. You can join now and help us meet our $45,000 goal. Just go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321. Or you can mail a check to KBOO FM, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, 97214. I wanted to talk, Dan, about, you just mentioned that there's resistance. And so I wanted to talk about two things. What, first of all, what are the lessons that people in Columbia County can learn from the people in Kalama about how to stop the methanol refinery? And then let's talk about who is this resistance and how is it building?
Well, yeah, I should say that, you know, one of the things that's really great about these, you know, it's kind of a negative thing to have to say, you know, that's a bad idea, don't put that thing there. But the community expertise that kind of surfaces, and then people, their willingness to share that across the river or upriver or downriver has been really inspiring to watch, and I think has created a lot of community and a lot of connections that otherwise would not have existed in a positive way. And so one of those things is really cool is, you know, just watching people from Kalama say, hey, here's what you should look out for. They're going to need a lot of water. They're going to need a huge amount of fracked gas. They're going to need to, you know, disturb this amount of ground. You know, where will the wastewater go? All these questions that were very practical and ended up being really problematic for the Kalama project would be directly translated to Port Westward, which is, if you can imagine, probably even more of a sensitive site. So that exchange of information, you know, it kind of like increases the knowledge level of the community. And so now when I see, you know, I hadn't even met these folks from Clatskanie, and they're giving a presentation to the Clatskanie City Council that's very compelling when it came to identifying some of these problems. And then the information that comes from the people with in Kalama or Landowners and Citizens for a Safe Community, which is an old name of a group that really formed across Port Westward, is a very like farmers sort of banding together with the people who lived on the scarp above Port Westward. And that was kind of the formation of this initial question of like, can you really have these big fossil fuel things coexisting with rural uses? And oftentimes the answer was no. It would do bad things to the neighboring farms. You know, it would change the drainage. It would change the quality of the water, you know, the whatever's falling out of the sky in terms of the steam, whatever's contained in the steam or the particulates, that would also, the VOCs, that would impact the neighbors. So this question of Port Westward has been brought up over and over and over, but now it's getting down to the point of like, we're going to learn in the next couple months whether the Land Use Board of Appeals thinks that this rezone should move forward. And if they open that door, then I think the community that's listening to this is should be aware that we're going to see proposals at Port Westward. At least one on paper is Northwest Innovation Works, and this is kind of like this looming, lingering last thing. When we see so many victories like Jordan Cove and Kalama, and being able to kind of finally, we think, hopefully turn the corner away from becoming just a mega terminal for fossil fuels in the form of coal and oil and LNG. The Northwest has really seen every proposal. And if we had not pushed back, we would probably have more than one of these major fossil fuel export terminals. And in today's energy market, we just see more and more oil trains, more coal trains, more fracked gas pipes, and all of the attendant impacts with that. So what, you know, Port Westward, I think, is, and the effort to protect Port Westward, the farms, the salmon, all the resources there, the clean water, it's really, it's a pretty fundamental question for the health of the Columbia River Estuary. And so that's why we are so focused on that. And for over a decade now, you know, people have just really been hammering away on the need to protect the Columbia River Estuary as we go into a changing climate. and just think a little bit further ahead. Is this going to make sense in 20 years?
Well, you know, I'm thinking about how back in the early part of this century, Jordan Kovacevic was a done deal. I remember when I first heard about it. And at the same time that there was the many LNG proposals for the Astoria area, and those were really being fought, it seemed like Jordan Cove had the support of a large part of the communities in Coos County and across the state. Well, that really changed. And the same thing with the methanol refinery in Klamath. That seemed like a done deal, too, when it started. Mm-hmm. And we saw how by just a few years ago, it seemed definitely like Klamath and Jordan Cove were dead. And, of course, all the Astoria LNG projects had been killed. I wonder if you're feeling like this one, judging from what happened with Klamath in particular and Jordan Cove, if you feel like this project is also going to die. It's just going to have a lingering death.
I mean, that's what we hope. Northwest Innovation Works hasn't made any progress at Port Westward for years. And what they have is essentially an agreement with the port that if the rezone succeeds, that Northwest Innovation Works would potentially identify land within Port Westward to locate. They really haven't said one way or the other whether they plan to pursue that. In the absence of the Klamath project, it's been pretty quiet. And so I think a lot hinges on, you know, the entities involved will, I think, reevaluate if LUBA comes back with a recommendation that or a decision that the land be rezoned. And there's an appeal step beyond that if it's for either side. So that's the kind of core question is the land use question first, and then comes this kind of final Northwest Innovation Works proposal.
So in the meantime, what can we do?
Yeah, looking forward, for people in Columbia County, and I know there are folks who listen down Scappoose and beyond, the Columbia County Commission will be considering the next energy project coming up in early January, and that's the renewable diesel project, which probably deserves its own show in terms of being complex. The other issue there is, renewable diesel has a lot to argue for it. The site at Port Westward is just absolutely not the place to put anything like this. So it's really ill-conceived, ill-suited. So that's going to be coming up in front of the Columbia County Commission. And it's very closely related. They're not related issues. Like Northwest Innovation Works is freestanding from Next Energy, but they, in practical terms, like they're sort of in the same space and they overlap with piping and the dock use and that kind of thing. And so Port Westward issues will be happening through early 2022. The other thing that folks, we're going to be reaching out to everyone through the KB community to let folks know when there's an environmental impact statement to be reviewed for this area, because we think that will be necessary for any project to go into Port Westward. They would need to do a full environmental impact statement, and we've asked the Army Corps of Engineers to consider that. So that's those are some of the next process steps. But I think for people listening, I think first I just want to say thank you to so many people across this state and the region who have shown that this is possible, that you can actually protect what you love through activism and through community action and through empathy and listening to your neighbors and their concerns. And that's what I've seen happen over and over and over at Port Westward. And that's what happened at Jordan Cove. And finally, forgot it, you know? And like, it's a real pleasure to be in here with you today, Barbara, too, who've paid so much attention to these issues for so long.
Well, it's a real pleasure to be here with you, Dan, even if we are on the other side of a double glass window. But it's nice to be at the station, and it's nice to be covering these issues. I want to thank you very much for joining us today, Dan. And I look forward to having you on again in the near future to continue talking about these issues. And maybe we can be talking at some point about moving beyond fossil fuel into a vision of the future that we really want to embrace.
Yeah, there's people out there working on really inspiring things right now. And what we are, this having to play defense on the last straggling bad ideas, hopefully will transition to the Columbia River, you know, sustaining these communities through a very turbulent time.
Well, Dan, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Thank you.
We've been talking with Dan Sears with Columbia Riverkeeper, and you've been listening to Locus Focus here on Cambridge Community Radio in Portland, Seattle stations KBFG LPFM and KODX LPFM, KMUN and KCB in Astoria, KCEI in Taos, New Mexico, and Radio Tacoma. If you're just tuning in and you'd like to hear what you missed or you want your friends or family to hear this show, you can listen to a podcast on our website, kboo.fm/locus-focus. To hear previous episodes of this show or any of our public affairs programming here on KBOO, go to kboo.fm or listen on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts. I want to give special thanks to the KBOO staff who are doing an incredible job of not only keeping KBOO on the air, but helping all us volunteers make the best radio possible from home during this pandemic. And you can help us during our end-of-year pledge drive by becoming a member of KBOO or renewing your membership if you're already a member. We're independent, community-supported, volunteer-powered radio. Help us reach our $45,000 goal. Go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321. Or please support the community station you're listening to right now. Thanks for supporting community-powered radio. I'm Barbara Bernstein. Next week, we'll look back at this strange and trying year that we've just been traveling through with our frequent Locus Focus guest, Eric DePlace from Seattle. We'll go out with Ripple by the Grateful Dead. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. Wash your hands. Get your COVID shots. And remember to socially distance when necessary and wear a mask. And happy solstice tomorrow.
If my words did glow with the gold of sunshine, and my tunes were played on the harp unstrung, would you hear my voice come through the music? Would you hold it near as it were your own? It's a hand-me-down. The thoughts are broken. Perhaps they're better left unsung. I don't know. Don't really care. Let there be songs to fill the air. Red.